The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in One offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you love the action in sports, from hockey to basketball to football, or if you're really into movies, with the Oscars coming up, BetOnline.ag has something for all types of interests. Create a free account at BetOnline.ag to get in on all the action and find out how you can win a trip to the NFL's big game on February 3rd. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday, and thank you for joining in another special episode of You're Welcome. All right, I'm in Brooklyn. I spent the week in Bristol, drove out to Brooklyn, getting ready for the fights. Weigh-ins are coming up in just a couple of hours. I guess there's some kind of drama. I think this is speculation, but there's been all sorts of talk that what if TJ Dillashaw doesn't make weight? So much has been made of TJ in this weight. I feel as though this should all be reversed in our minds. I feel as though the correct answers have already been given in the form of Max Holloway. Do you guys not remember the dialogue? Less than 2 months ago, Max Holloway wasn't going to make weight for Brian Ortega. And even if he did make weight for Brian Ortega, he would be so sucked down, so reduced, and so diminished, he would not be able to perform at the best of his abilities. It was a ridiculous narrative then. You do have to see what the number says on the scale. But as far as the replenishing, as far as being able to go out there and compete at your best, guys, it's what's known as a 36-hour weigh-in. You weigh in 36 hours, a day and a half later, you go out and compete. In NCAA wrestling standards, it is a 20, it's not a 24, it's a 1 hour weigh-in. In old fight standards, it was a 24-hour weigh-in. They've now added another 12 hours to this. It's a ridiculous amount of time. If you go give a guy 4 or 5 hours, no matter how bad, he was sucked out. If you guys ever become dehydrated to the point that you were admitted to the emergency room, they will have you back on your feet and feeling your best in 4 to 5 hours. 36 hours, no matter how bad somebody looks on the scale, nobody has ever used as an excuse. And there's no bigger wimps out there. There's no bigger excuse makers out there in the world today than cage fighters. They're pulling out of fights because they got staph infections. They hurt their shoulder. They hurt their knee. And what do they love to do? They love to tell people about it. They love to have an excuse. Literally, in the history of the sport, nobody has ever used a weight cut as an excuse. Simply hasn't happened because it would never work. The fellow fighters without them. You don't get a weigh-in on Friday and compete on Saturday. In any walk, it's silly. It needs to be done for marketing reasons. As far as a competitive architecture goes, it's silly to weigh in on a day and then fight another day. What was the point of the weigh-in? If I weighed in 185 pounds and you give me, I'm getting in the ring at 205, 206, 204. So I'm not a 185-pounder. That's just what's going to be disclosed for marketing because we had a contract. I'm not going to fight at 185. I said I'm fighting at 185. I'm not. I'm fighting at 204. That's your fault. You had the weigh-ins a day before. The only point I'm trying to make. So many people are talking about TJ Dillashaw coming down. And it goes one of two ways. First off, can he make weight? And second, will he be able to perform if he does make weight? Look, little bit of a false narrative there. I think that it is a fun conversation. I don't blame you for having it because Henry Cejudo has added to this. He's added to it by simply saying, if TJ doesn't make weight, no problem, because guess what? Now we'll just fight at 135. We'll fight at TJ's weight class. I love it. Sounds like the problem is solved. I think he was saying that to be catchy and funny. I think he was, but if he was being literal and we were to go down this little road and play this game of chicken, okay, great. Just, Henry, make sure that TJ weighs in first. So let's play out the scenario the way TJ's talking, or that Henry's talking. If TJ is to come in and miss weight, and you have to understand this because they're fighting in New York, so you have to defer to the statute of the New York State Athletic Commission, which clearly says to fight for the 135-pound title, you must weigh in somewhere between 126 and 135 pounds. Relevance being, if Henry Cejudo is the first to the scale and weighs in at 125, and then TJ comes to the scale and weighs in at 127. TJ is now not eligible to fight for Henry's title at 125, which is scheduled and planned and anticipated. However, if TJ weighed in first at 127, by example, and then Henry was to go drink something real fast so that he no longer weighs 125, that he weighs at least 126, they could, in theory, go, well, more than in theory, they could quite literally, by the statute, switch what belt is on the line and go fight for TJ's belt. So if this is an actual concern of Henry's, he does need to be disciplined to make sure he does not get on that scale until TJ does. However, let's look at the other side of this thing, which is the realisticness of this. Look, guys, history matters. There is no greater trajectory to the future than history. Never in history has TJ Dillashaw missed weight, but Henry has. Not only has Henry missed weight, he's missed it at this specific weight class. I think, I'd have to go check this, off the top of my head, something's ringing a bell that it was twice, that two different times he missed weight. Even if I'm wrong about that, and it was one time, I think it was two times, even if it was one time. If you guys will remember, so many people have forgot this. Henry used to miss weight at 125 pounds to the point that Dana White forced him to go up to 135, and by forced, I mean he encouraged him and said, hey, Henry, how about you just switch weight classes? Henry did. Became a 135-pounder. Somewhere along the way, said, you know what? I prefer 125. Let me get this under control. Give me another shot, and it won't happen again. And it didn't. I just think as we offer this false narrative on questioning TJ Dillashaw's ability to make the weight class, that we make sure we tell the story fairly and accurately, which is the one who should be under scrutiny to make the weight is possibly Henry Cejudo. Now, I will more than predict, I will all but report for you guys, nobody's missing weight, and the fight's going on at 125 pounds. I just like the conversation. I think that it was very fun when Henry Cejudo said, okay, great, don't make weight, we'll just fight for your belt. Okay, but if you are going to do that, Henry, make sure that you do understand that you are in New York and the statute very clear. You can't move weight classes like in wrestling. You can't just weigh what you want and then compete where you want as long as it's a heavier weight. You could go ahead and fight TJ if you weighed in first, but you could not fight for his title in New York unless you were between 126 and 135. So let's see where that goes, which I will predict for you is absolutely nowhere. But I do think it's a fun talking point and a long talking points for this fight. I mean, look, this whole thing has been largely built around the fact that Henry Cejudo has an opportunity to be the savior of the 125-pound division, that TJ Dillashaw is going to be the destroyer of the division. Both of those guys heard that narrative somewhere, and both of them liked it, and both of them played along and perpetuated it. I just cannot tell you guys that there is any evidence that either one of them is right. We do not have any intangible evidence that regardless of outcome Saturday night, 125 pounds is gone. That's not true. We have some evidence to allow us to speculate to that. But the UFC has been quite coy. The UFC has absolutely not said that. That has never been spoken. That is not anything that's official. So I would just also encourage you guys at 125 pounds to not panic just yet. To not go have that extra plate of pancakes just yet thinking you're all 135-pounders. My own opinion on this is that that is something that's being considered and that none of those decisions have been made and none of those decisions will be made until after this contest and probably a meaningful amount of time after. Probably as much as a couple of weeks could go by to sit back, see where the dust settles, see what the landscape of the sport is, see what the mandate of the masses is, see what matches suddenly arise, and then you figure out what. Check it out. One of my 2019 resolutions is to make this podcast bigger and better than ever before. That being said, what I'm about to offer exceeds anything I was expecting, thanks to our friends at betonline.ag. One of you guys could be going on a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the NFL's biggest game of the year on February 3rd. How do you enter for a chance to attend the big game? Simply get yourself over to betonline.ag. Sign up for a betonline.ag account and use the promo code BIGGAME to enter the contest. There's nothing better than a paid flight, paid hotel, and a VIP tailgate party and tickets to the big game for you plus a friend, family member, or significant other. The exclusive partner of Podcast One, Sportsnet, has done it again. BetOnline.ag has the golden tickets, and this is your opportunity to place a bet on yourself. Don't miss out, because this promotion ends January 28th. Visit BetOnline.ag today for all the details and use promo code BIGGAME to get in on the action. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Moving on from that, and speaking of having evidence, I've been a little bit bullish to the point that I'm now getting teased for telling you that I do believe this Brock Lesnar news and that Brock Lesnar will be fighting Daniel Cormier. I know as more time goes by, the less and less likely that would appear. We look at the clues that we have. Brock said he was going to do it. Big clue. Daniel said that Brock's going to do it. Dana said that Brock is going to do it. Brock entered the USADA testing pool, but then Brock took a larger schedule with the WWE. I don't know if you guys are following wrestling, but one of the things that happened is wrestling had a big draw named Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns moves the needle. Roman Reigns is a main event guy. He's a young, handsome, up-and-comer. He's related to The Rock. Point being that he comes from a family of wrestlers, multi-generations of wrestlers. In real life, Roman Reigns has leukemia, so he had to pull away from wrestling to go and deal with his health issue. Well, in the absence of Roman, the WWE now needs somebody that can headline and travel more and help to sell the tickets that Roman was selling, so they had to go to Brock. They had to work out a new deal. Brock was a team player and said, yeah, I'll do it. The reason that that story matters and that timeline matters is because Brock was supposed to take a reduced schedule with the WWE for a brief period of time so that he could go into training for Daniel Cormier. When he did not take that light schedule, all of a sudden, in conjunction with that timing, you quit hearing about Brock Lesnar, first part of 2019, which we happen to be living in right now, versus Daniel Cormier. Fine, that's a big clue. So what side do you want to jump on here? Well, now another clue has come out. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but Brock is in training. Brock was recently in the Minnesota wrestling room. To remind you guys, he's a national champion, an alumni from Minnesota. He does a lot of his training at the Minnesota wrestling room. And he's also getting ready, at least allegedly, to take on Daniel Cormier, who happens to be a wrestler. I saw the training footage. He looked great. He physically looked great, but he was also moving very well. Point being, this was not his first workout. Brock has been in training. I could tell by the way he was moving. I could tell by his stance. I could tell by his positioning. Things that you just simply can't come in off the street. Even if you're a former national champion in that sport, you simply cannot do it. It is a different posture. If I was to jump up out of my seat right now and show you, but it's bent over at the waist. If you guys don't follow amateur wrestling, it's a totally different posture. Almost the opposite posture of what you would do in mixed martial arts, where you're standing upright. In wrestling, you want to get as low to the mat as you can. You want to protect your legs. That's not something you can just walk in and do. It is something that you have to develop. And as I watched the training footage with Brock Lesnar, I could tell this isn't his first day. This isn't even his first week. I don't even know if this is his first month. Guy looked pretty good. He also happened to be training with a young man named Gable Stevenson. I should take just a moment to tell you guys who this is, because if you go and watch the training footage, and if more of this footage begins to be released and maybe we see some live goes, so you could start to, I don't imagine Brock's going to look great in this situation. And some of you may go, Brock just doesn't have it anymore. Well, not so fast. Let me tell you who Gable is as a training partner. Gable grew up in Minnesota, won all the state titles you could do, won a bunch of world championships in age group wrestling. He then goes to the University of Minnesota. He happens to be a heavyweight, exactly what Brock needs to train with. Gable Stevens is the first guy in my life who I believe will be a four-time NCAA champion. I realize we have had four-time NCAA champions, but I never thought they would be four-time NCAA champions. They surprised me. It wasn't predicted. I did not predict Cale to be a four-time NCAA champion, and I've known him since we were little kids. I didn't think that Dake was going to do it. Who I respect from, I didn't think that Stieber would do it. I didn't think Pat Smith would do it. I would predict to you that Gable would do it. I would predict it to go even further and tell you if it didn't happen, I'd be surprised. I would be very surprised. I'm not just talking about this guy being able to be a four-time NCAA champion without a red shirt, I might add. This time last year, he was in high school. Not only am I predicting him to be an NCAA champion, I would not be stunned if he as a true freshman went through the heavyweight class and did not give up a point. That would not stun me if he did not give up a single takedown at the NCAA tournament. Very special guy. Very special talent. Very special wrestler. So for Brock to go in and grab workouts with this guy and even be able to make it through the workouts, to just go the full two-hour sessions, means that he's been in training. It means he's been in training. It means this wasn't something new. It means that even though Brock, with his heavy schedule and taking on, you know, filling in for Roman Reigns and traveling all over with the WWE and been in Saudi Arabia a couple of months ago and not being able to attend UFC events and not locked away with Marty Morgan and doing his thing on his property there in Minnesota, not so fast. He's doing something. I don't know what it is. Is it hotels and treadmill workers? I mean, listen, fighters have to get very used to that. I got to travel. A lot of guys got to travel a lot. You still got to find those workouts. If it means you got to sleep less, if it means you got to get in a cab and go to somebody's gym, if it means you're with your trainer in a hotel, treadmill and workout room at 2 a.m, whatever it means, you got to get it in. But Brock, I've never thought to have that level of discipline. I thought his level of discipline was very good, but it was to say, look, I'm out of the WWE. I'm locking myself away for 8 weeks. We'll see what happens after that. Hopefully it's enough. If it's not great, I go back to my great life either way. That's how I thought Brock did it. I think for the most part I'm right, but I'm telling you from this training footage, and it was brief and it was quick, but if you understood the position and you understood who the training partner was, I think that would shed a little bit more light and influence you to believe that I'm correct when I tell you Brock is training for something, and I'm predicting, based on being told it by Dana White and Daniel Cormier himself, that he's training for a world title fight against DC.
You're listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and this January I am launching my new show, The Laura Ingraham Show Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So if you like my radio show, you're going to love joining me during the week as I cover politics, pop culture, and media bias. And don't worry, as always, I'm going to bring you hard-hitting guests and take your calls. Subscribe today and download new episodes starting January exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
You like saving cash, right? You know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Well, if that is in your bag, then get this, because you can do it right from your living room. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Amanda Nunes came out, and Amanda told the world, but the message to Chris Cyborg, I've done it 145 pounds. Going back to 135, as a matter of fact, might even go down to 125. Well, guess what? There's no way to resist that. There's no way to resist that. Cyborg was given the fight with Amanda, or vice versa. I think Amanda asked for the fight. Either way, two world champions went in there, and they did it at Cyborg's weight class. If you were to do that again, in the rules of fighting, which ultimately defer back to the playground, If you wanted a rematch, now you got to come to my way. I already did it your way. I already came to you and I succeeded. So if you would like the rematch, you now need to come to me. That's the rules of the street. And as much as we all know what the response is going to be, which is just simply, I can't come to you. Okay, fine. Then we are done here. And Amanda never has to look back and never has to apologize and nobody will say boo about it. They will not say, oh, you're scared and give her a rematch and do all this. No, they won't. You had the opportunity to pull that old childish fight promotion move of you're scared. The oldest one in the book, the most original one in the book, you're scared. You had your opportunity to do that, and many of you took it, and that was at 145 pounds, and Amanda went out there and did what she did. Now, if you want to redo it, you've got to come to me. That is the rule. That is absolutely the rule. In fact, there's just nothing that can be done. There won't even be a phone call coming Amanda's way from the UFC saying, hey, come back and do it at 145. It doesn't work that way, and everybody knows it. It just doesn't. No problem. You want to do it again? No problem. Come become a contender. Cut the line. Maybe you're the top contender. I don't know. But now you got to come to me. I came to your house. If you want to do it again, now you got to come to mine. That's the way that it works. And now if Amanda's talking about going down to 125, okay, great. That's cool with me. I think she could probably make the weight. I also think her and the bullet is probably the fight to make. But I think that's going to change in a short period of time. Holly Holm is never not a number one contender. She's like Frankie Edgar. She's a number one contender at any weight class that you want to put her in, and nobody's going to argue about ever. Well, you're giving Frankie a world title fight. Yeah, I'm giving Frankie a world title fight. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, same thing with Holly. But here's the problem that Holly's got. Holly's got a two-part problem. First part, Aspen. Second part, Ladd. I think a lot of you are overlooking Aspen Ladd as a future title challenger and possible champion. I'm not. I've only seen her one time, and it didn't last all that long. But it made a lasting impression. I did see her that night and think there is something special here. There's something with Holly Holm as well. That's very special. But I do think that's the fight. Holly Holm is coming out and vocally saying, after Aspen Ladd, I want to fight Amanda. Well, nobody's going to argue with Holly. Yeah, of course. Of course, go fight Amanda. Absolutely. I just think the other side of that coin is that if Aspen Ladd gets the jump on Halls, I think Aspen comes right to the front, right to the forefront of everybody's mind too. I think that's a match that you need to look at. And I don't know that we will ever see Cyborg and Amanda again, because we certainly won't see it at any other weight class than 145 pounds. And if Amanda can be incentivized to do good business where she feels more comfortable and chase the goals that she prefers to chase, she is beyond rebuke at this point. There is no rebuttal. There is no rhetorical set of words from any logical and reasonable person they can possibly say, no, you have to go up and do it again and you have to do it her way. Just isn't going to happen. So I think it's a meaningful statement. She could be bluffing. She could be having some fun with her. But I take her at her word. And the only reason I choose to take her at her word is it makes sense. I think she does look better at 135 in terms of her speed, in terms of what she's forced to do discipline-wise. I think she could make 125. I think that's a stretch. I don't know if there's a reason to do it. Generally, champions going after other titles don't drop down in weight. Generally, they go up in weight. But generally does not make it a rule. And if you want to talk about generalities and you want to talk about rule, Amanda has followed none of them, which is why she has two world championships and two first round finishes against the most media decorated athletes the sport and that division has ever seen.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up your first date, or that mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, at least you can find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then just answer a few questions, navigation, moonroof, high mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much of a hit it's going to be so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. When you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your vehicle, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas.
And speaking of being in New York, I have to tell you, do you guys know what Junior's Cheesecake is? Junior's Cheesecake is unarguably, okay, I don't want to hear it. There's no argument. It's the best cheesecake in the world. It is the most famous cheesecake in the world. It might even be the most expensive cheesecake in the world, which doesn't mean you're going to get gouged on price. You still get a piece of cheesecake for $5 or $6, but excellent cheesecake. The only person that Junior's Cheesecake has to compete with is Junior's Cheesecake. And guess what? Junior's Cheesecake of 2019 is getting its ass kicked by Junior's Cheesecake of 2009. So I go to Junior's. I'm very excited. Not a simple place to get a seat for. Hard place to find. Don't have them out where I live. Okay? This is some of the original places right here in New York for Junior's. Guess what they're doing? They've decided to get lazy in the kitchen. They've decided to put a fruit compote on top of their cheesecake. Now, that's very common. Very common that you'll find maybe a blueberry, a strawberry, a raspberry, seasonally a blackberry. But when you do that, and even if you were Junior's doing it in 2009, it was fresh berries. They're now putting some kind of pre-manufactured, no possible way they're doing it in-house in the back, topping on the cheesecakes that not only looks like plastic, it tastes like plastic. And they're not the first ones that I see make this mistake. There is something within the restaurant business where they don't put a respect to the topping. I see this all the time. I was in Oregon. There was a restaurant out there called Hooters, which I believe was a national brand. Owl Hooters, and they were known as a sports bar that sold chicken wings. That is the only thing they advertised and marketed themselves around. Now, if you ever went, they actually had a menu. You'd get a club sandwich, you get a hamburger, a cheeseburger. They had a couple of other things on the menu. But over a short period of time, they started to close. They started to go out of business. They're gone in Oregon. I assume they're still out there and you guys will know what I'm talking about, but I could be, maybe they're all closed. They started to get national attention for having cold wings. And I don't mean cold and that the temperature wasn't warm enough. I mean, they were still frozen within the middle. And Hooters put out a statement going, hey, we make a lot of wings, kind of mass producing these things, got a good client base. And sometimes they come out cold. They're not cooked long enough. And I'm going, well, okay, well, you just solved the problem. You said they're cold because they're not cooked long enough. We cook them longer. That sounds perfectly reasonable. Sounds like we've kind of narrowed this thing down, geniuses. But I also never bought the argument and the excuse from the first place. McDonald's with French fries, though being a different food, has the same problem. It runs on a fryer. It's the same cooking apparatus. And the product is frozen when you get it. Have you guys ever had a bad French fry from McDonald's? The answer to that question is no. So first off, I never liked that in the first place. But secondly, with Hooters, specifically, they fancied themselves around a wing. Now, any of you guys that eat wings are well aware that the chicken is not the best part of the wing. It either comes in a delicious glaze, or you dip it in a delicious blue cheese or ranch dressing. You probably couldn't really tell me in your entire lives two blue cheeses that tasted different. Blue cheese is pretty standard. And you might have one that you come across, wow, that's a really good blue cheese. But for the most part, it's pretty standard. Any brand, any restaurant, any state, any city in the world, blue cheese is blue cheese for the most part. Well, guess what? Not the same with ranch. Ranch is significantly different. Ranch comes, you could go online right now and find 100 different recipes for ranch. Hooters went out of their way to have terrible ranch. Like the CEO of Hooters has never tasted ranch. Is he not a ranch? A lot of people aren't. Plenty of people aren't ranch guys. They've either tasted it and they don't like it. Okay, fine. Or they do like it, but calorie content and fat content, they just don't eat it. Not the conversation here. If you are a restaurant that's serving wings, that 90% of the time is dunked in one of two dressings, one being blue cheese and one serving ranch, and you serve a ranch, and this is what Hooters does. They would serve a Paul Newman's ranch, prepackaged, made by somebody else, nothing in-house, and they wouldn't even hide it in the back. They would bring it out in the plastic container with Paul Newman's face on it, and then, for reasons unknown, they would only serve you fat-reduced ranch. They would not even bring you the best ranch. They would bring you a reduced-calorie ranch. And you're looking around going, there's nothing but cheeseburgers and beer and French fries and wings flowing in this place. When did all of a sudden you guys become health conscious? And how is that your business? I'll let you know. If I would like the reduced calorie ranch, I will order that. But until then, bring me a bucket of ranch that happens to taste good, and you're wondering why you're going out of business. Who's watching the shop? Junior Cheesecake isn't going to be far behind. If you're going to put a berry compote on, and you are a famous cheesecake restaurant, either have the fresh berries or make it yourself in the back. Word of free advice. Saw a piece by Donald Cerrone earlier today, who I bet you would like a piece of cheesecake. He's got a weight cut coming up. He hired a nutritionist for the first time in his MMA career to help him get down to 155 for this fight coming up with Alex tomorrow. Donald Cerrone has come out and said he hopes and believes that there's a chance, at least, that his next opponent, with a win Saturday, will be Conor McGregor. I don't know that he's all that far off. I think in many ways that fight works and makes sense. I couldn't predict for you that that's the way it's going to go. The last we were told from Dana White is that if he had a perfect world at 155 pounds, he would put Khabib and Tony together next. He would do, if you will, a semifinal matchup between Conor versus Poirier. Winners to advance and compete with each other. I like that four-man bracket. I got no problem with it. However, there's a lot of plans that happen and a lot of things that you would like. And then you like something else a little bit more when a little bit of time goes by. A little bit of time's got by, possibly a win by Cerrone tomorrow night, and a calling out and a wish and a hope for Conor McGregor. I think that fight makes sense. I think that fight sells. I think that's when I say the fight makes sense, you have to understand, there's a lot of pieces that you have to bring to the table for certain athletes, and certain athletes deserve the right and have the power to make some of those pieces come. For Conor McGregor, he wants a big fight. He wants a big fight. That's rule number one. Well, Cowboy's a pretty big fight. That would do very, very well. That is a marketable name. And with the right call out and the right vigor, I think that's something the fans could get behind. I don't know that Cerrone is all that far off. I also don't know how big of a tussle Cerrone is going to have tomorrow night. I think that Alex is a lot better than a lot of you people know. I think he's an up-and-comer that if he wasn't opposite Donald Cerrone, who is so willing to get in there with absolutely anybody, any placement on the card at any time you want to do it, I don't know that he'd be given such a big opportunity. But that doesn't take away from his skills. This guy's good. Very good fighter. Trains with TJ Dillashaw. One of his coaches is Daryl Christian, who I talked to just recently. They really believe in him. They think he's fast and strong and young and hungry and in shape and can take out Cowboy. I just don't know that I think this is a Darren Till-style situation where Cowboy agrees to go in there with a name who in any other scenario would not be on the docket with him and then is going to get mowed over. I don't think he's in that kind of a spot. I think that Darren Till spot might have been a once in a lifetime. When I do look at Alex, I also see what his coaches are seeing. I also see what TJ Dillashaw is seeing. I see a very good fighter right there. But I don't know that he was as good as even, say, Mike Perry, who's very good, who did not make it very long with Cowboy. I don't know if Cowboy gets the full credit that he deserves. You know, some of the best submissions you're ever going to see in MMA came from Cowboy Cerrone. Does that surprise you guys to hear me say that? Now that it does, is that something that you guys would challenge hearing me say? No, Cowboy Cerrone, go see the Barboza fight. Go see the Rick Story fight. Go see the Mike Perry fight. Cowboy Cerrone, the big, strong, powerful kickboxer, when he gets on the ground, he's nasty. You know, Pettis is that same way, never really gets credit for it. But if you go back and look at his career, comes out and scares everybody with the threat of the kickboxing, which is a very real thing. But he never lets anybody know about the submissions. But as time goes on and fights go on and the career goes on, you sit to look back and go, my goodness, Anthony Pettis is a master off his back. So is Donald Cerrone. Something needs to be looked at. I'm keeping my eye on that fight. It is the main event of the undercard, main event of the first show of the night. I don't even like the term undercard anymore. What's happening in this business is there's multiple shows being put on in one night. Some fights are going to be on Fight Pass. Whoever fights last is the main event of Fight Pass. And then we go into a whole nother show. Go into the ESPN portion. That is going to have a main event. Whoever fights last, which in this case happens to be Cowboy and Alex. And then you go into the ESPN Plus portion. And whoever fights last on that is the main event of that show. And it has to be looked at like that. These fighters can't think they're getting slighted anymore. I've heard a little bit of that. I shouldn't be on the undercard. The undercard isn't really an undercard anymore. The business has changed. The main event of the undercard is now a main event of a show on a totally different platform, meaning a totally different channel that will be marketed, billed, and celebrated the same way. The UFC has just found a way to put on three shows in one night, and some people are missing that. These fighters should not feel as slighted as some of them are. Some of them are in very, very wonderful spots and just don't fully realize what's happening because the card as a whole is being presented as one entity. We really got three different projects going on there all at once. All right, guys, I have had it with you all. I got a few hours. I've got to get over to the weigh-in. I am headed that way now. If you would like to check that out with me, switch on over to ESPN Plus on the app. I will see you all there, and I will talk to you all next Wednesday. Same Chael Sonnen time, same Chael Sonnen channel. Until then, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
The big game is around the corner.
Every single team that is suiting up for this weekend, putting a helmet on, putting the cleats on, has a three-game win streak left in them right now.
Check out The Rich Eisen Show on Podcast One Sportsnet as the legendary sportscaster analyzes the plays and predicts what will happen on February 3rd.
Almost a quarter century of covering NFL playoffs, I cannot recall a more wide-open field.
Download The Rich Eisen Show every weekday on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.